Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 10 and probably won't get too much further than verse 10 tonight. But you remember, and I'll remind you of this quickly, 1 John was written for two purposes. First of all, so that we could know that we have eternal life and that our joy could be full. And we've studied some of the things that the Apostle John lists that and says, hey, if these things are in your life, it's a good indication that you're saved and that you have eternal life. And if you have these things in your life's going to be full of joy. In fact, the more of these that you have in your life, the more joy that you'll have. And we talked about some of those things. We talked about, you know, keeping his commandments and loving the brethren. That's a theme that's been repeated over and over again. But we've talked about, you know, loving not the world, standing fast, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Again, all as indicators that if these things are in your life, it's a good indicator, a good sign, a good marker that you're saved. And again, that your life is marked by joy. Last week in chapter 5, actually we've been in chapter 5 the past couple weeks, and the first week we talked about a couple promises that are in chapter 5. The promises in verse 1 where it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And then the promise that was in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing that he is the Christ or the Messiah, leads to salvation. It also leads to the power to overcome this world. And last week, we talked about the witnesses that are in heaven and in earth that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. Three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says these are one. And then the three witnesses that are in earth, the Spirit, with the small s, our spirit, the water, which we talked about, the baptism of Christ, and then the blood, the cross. And last week we ended on verse 9 of chapter 5, where the Bible says, if we receive the witness of men, and we do receive the witness of men, we listen to certain men, we base the way we think, we base the way we act, the actions that we take on what men say, knowing that oftentimes men are not trustworthy, knowing that oftentimes men stretch, bend, or break the truth, knowing that men oftentimes deceive. And yet still, we sometimes put our faith and trust in men and receive their witness. But then the Bible says, if you put, and again, it's a rhetorical comment, if you receive the witness of men, the writer goes on to say, the witness of God is greater because he never breaks the truth. He never bends the truth. He never stretches the truth. He is always trustworthy. We can always put our faith in him. And what the writer is saying is, look, if you trust men, why don't you trust God? Because his witness is greater. Now, so we start tonight in verse 10, where the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Let me just stop there. He that believeth on the Son of God. Now, who he's talking about in that phrase is Christians. He's talking about people that have been saved. He's talking about people that have been born again. You remember the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so the apostle says, he that believeth on the Son of God, save people. Hey, that's us. Most of us, if not all of us here tonight, have asked Jesus to be our Savior. We've been born again. We're on our way to heaven, not because of our goodness, but because what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. The apostle saying, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And so we have certain things. We talked about all these outside things, about loving the brethren, about keeping the commandments, about walking in the light. But what the apostle is saying, there's some things that we have experienced that serve as witnesses internally that we can look at and know that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. In the time that we have together tonight, let me mention several of those things that we know, that we've experienced, that witness to the fact that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. The first is our sin. You see, we know about our sin. We know what we that are saved know what our sin is. Some people think, well, sin is just breaking the law, and I guess in a simple definition, that's what it is. It's disobeying God. But to us that are saved, we know it's more than that. It's going against God. When David sinned with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, he was asking forgiveness. He made this statement, against thee only have I sinned, O God. We as Christians know that our sin is against God. We as Christians know how wicked our sin is. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. And I was thinking this afternoon, I wonder what my unrighteousnesses look like to God. If all the good things that I can point to in my life look like filthy rags in His sight, what about the times that I know I mess up? What about the times that I know I sin? What about the times I know where I deliberately break His law? What must they look like to a holy God? I have a witness that knows that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Son of God, because I know how wicked my sin is. I know how vile it is in the sight of God. I know how dirty it is in the sight of God. I know that I have sinned against Him. I have a second witness inside of me, something that I have experienced. I know the perfection and the beauty of Jesus Christ. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Not one evil deed, not one act of omission, not one ill thought. Everything about Jesus was perfect. Everything about Jesus was in accordance with the will of God for Him. God spoke from heaven on several occasions, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I have a witness that He is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. Because I can read in this book and I know in my spirit how beautiful He is. There's a third witness that I have experienced, a third witness that I know, and that is the love of God that would send a Savior like that to die for a sinner like me. I've told you 100 times, if I've told you once, I can't explain the gospel. I mean, I can tell you what it is, and I can point to the cross, and I can tell you what happened on the cross, but I cannot explain why a holy, righteous God would love a sinner like me enough to send His perfect Son to die in my place. I can't explain that to you. It's hard for me to understand. It's something I just have to take by faith. That God would send His perfect, holy, righteous Son to die for somebody like me. I have that witness. I have the witness of the power of this book. You see, where did I hear everything I've just talked about? I've heard it from this book. I heard it from this book. I heard it from this book before I was old enough to read it. I heard it from this book as my grandmothers told me about the love of God. I heard it from this book as my mom and dad told me stories about the saints of God and how God used them. As I began to read this book and study this book, I began to understand more and more and more and more what Jesus did for me, an old, dirty sinner on Calvary's cross, and the love that brought it down. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. I have that witness. I have the witness of the new birth. We talked about it Sunday morning, about being born again, about getting that new heart. I got that new heart. I got something else when I was born again. I got a new nature. I still got my old one, but the old one still fights against the new one, but I got a new nature. I am not the person I was, and neither are you before you got saved. You are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I got a new nature. The things that used to delight me don't delight me anymore. I got some new delights. This book delights me. Sharing the gospel delights me. Christian fellowship delights me. I was changed when I got saved. That's a witness that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. I have another witness, the witness of the Holy Spirit, that one who resides in me, God himself, who has taken up residence in my body, who communes with my spirit, who instructs me, who encourages me, who helps me understand this book. So many times we sell the Holy Spirit short. We don't give him credit for all that he does. That he's a witness to me that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. And then finally, I have the witness of the hope of heaven. The witness of the hope of heaven. This world, it's going to end. It's going to end. I look around at people gathering things, and I just want to ask them sometimes, and sometimes I do, and they don't like the question. What's going to happen to all this stuff when you go? You can't take it with you. You can't put it in a casket and take it to heaven. You spend all this time, you spend all this effort, and like we were talking about Sunday, sometimes we make poor choices and we sacrifice, we do good things, but we sacrifice the better things for the good. What's going to happen to it all when this life ends? What's going to happen to it all when this world ends? It's going to burn up. We can't take it with us. That's why the Bible says we need to send our treasures on ahead. That's why the Bible says we need to store them up in heaven. I have the witness of God, but I also have the witness of what's happened in me, and so do you, to know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.